live at listenlikealocal.com or on your mobile device with the free WSKV app for Android and Apple users. Tonight's program is made possible in part by Whitaker Bank, Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Powell County CSIP, Mercy Health, Appalachian Wireless, Citizens Guarantee Bank, Clark Regional Medical Center, Hinkle Contracting, Davis & Davis Funeral Home, Toyota South, Ace Hardware & Feed, People's Exchange Bank, Teddy Flint, Attorney at Law, Whitaker Insurance Group, Protect Security and Fire Systems, and Apex Network Physical Therapy. Let's join Ken and Dave for PCSN Live from the Stanton Studio.
No wonder, Ken. I can't wear them headsets and talk because I'm echoing all over the place. Can you hear my problem? Anyway, welcome to PCSN Live with Dave and Ken here on WSKV 104.9 FM.
I'm not sure why we're echoing.
We're delayed.
Is that what it is?
We're off time. Yeah, I don't know how those singers do that off time stuff. So I know what I'm saying. I'll just take the headsets off. That way it don't bother me nearly as bad. First of all, start out with girls basketball. We'll start there first. Girls basketball traveled to. Oh, they didn't have a game. They went to. Yeah, never mind.
Well, actually, last week when we were on the air, they had the game at Wolf County, and so at that point, by the time we got off the air, they hadn't even started.
Correct. And that game went how?
The Lady Pirates lost 63-47. Ethan has sent you a text there. So anyway, they ended up losing to Wolf County, the Lady Wolves, 63-47. That was back on February the 1st. And then the Lady Pirates played host to Owsley County in the boys-girls doubleheader on February the 3rd. And at that point, then it ended up being a loss for the Lady Pirates, 74-35. In a district matchup, which at that point the district seeds had already been established in the girls' bracket, with Owsley County being the number one seed. And so that game is probably more, I don't want to say pride, but something along those lines as far as, like, you know, the game didn't matter as far as standings or anything. And unfortunately, again, the Lady Pirates ended up losing that game. But what's interesting about that to me is that the way that Owsley County plays, especially the way that they've continued to progress throughout the season, they're going to be a hard team. You know, I think that they do so many runouts. As soon as somebody's, you know, Powell, Lady Pirates are taking a shot, you miss it. Somebody's already running down the floor waiting for a long outlet pass and ended up getting a couple easy baskets in transition, and Lady Pirates couldn't necessarily stop that.
I just think this bunch is at Owsley County. When you take, for an example, Carly Smith, who is a junior, this is her fifth year maybe as being a starter. So she's not a holdback. She's a regular junior who's a fifth year starter. You have the is it Terrell? I believe it's Terrell, who is a freshman, who is a three-year starter. You're taking groups of kids here that have been starting since their seventh and eighth grade year. They're now all in high school. They're still the youngest team in the district, and I don't think people understand that either. But this team at Owsley County, obviously next year would be the year that they should definitely do some things. But this is a team, this is going to be about the fourth or fifth year this team could go deep in the region.
Agreed. They only have two juniors currently, and yes, that one being Smith and the other one being Shelby Murray.
And Shelby is a player who has been around that rotation, not as a starter, but she has been in the rotation for at least, she's probably been a starter for 3 years, but she's been a sub off the bench for two before that. So these kids get tons of experience before they get to the high school level. And you can tell they've played together. They've played together long enough to understand some things. Travis does a really good job with their team. And I just think that they click on all cylinders. Now, when they lose a couple of these kids, like Carly, it will hurt. You know, they lost Lexi Lynch last year, who was probably one of the best players in the region. She actually was a holdback or a COVID player last year, took the extra year for COVID. But look at all the experience they gained playing all-A tournaments, playing the, in the regional tournaments. This team doesn't – they don't know how to lose in district play.
Correct. Yeah, so, 18-6 so far on the season.
Yeah, they're and they're probably
– 6-0 in district play.
They're likely not going to lose in district – in the district tournament. Owsley will likely win the district by double digits over all their competitors. And I know Powell's one of those, and – maybe I'm selling us short. The game we saw last time against Owsley was just a blowout. But I mentioned on the air up there, Owsley County couldn't hit a shot in the first half. Only led by 9. We played horrible in the first half as well. Both teams at Owsley played terrible in the first half. It was 18 to 9 or something like that. And Powell County just played exceptional basketball in the second half. Owsley County still didn't make many shots. When we saw them down here, they made shots, they had runouts, they're ready to play, and they laid it to us. I feel that's the Owsley County team that I was looking for up there, and we didn't get it. That team's special. So I won't take anything away from their program and what they've done up there. It's just those kids are very experienced. On the flip side of that, you look at the Powell County roster, Chloe Grader has played different positions. This is her fourth year as a starter, I believe, but has played different positions just the last two. Played 2 years down the post, now 2 years up on the one or two position. So your way you play changes. You look at Carly Rogers, who is a senior. This is her first year getting starting opportunities. Yamakara has been around for 3 years, but that's 3 years. It doesn't equal the 5 of Carly Smith. So even the experienced players at Powell are less experienced than what Owsley has on the table. On the flip side with Estill County, they're going with some of the same kids that played over there for a while. In my opinion, some of those kids haven't improved like I thought they would. And sometimes girls, not that they regress, sometimes when girls, they slow down, maybe lose a step, or lose the love of the game, whatever it may be. As that's happened to them over there. Some of those kids are just playing hard every time for Estill. So it's going to be some interesting matchup between Powell Estill in that first game, which will be on Monday. Game number two, I guess. And they have the 8 o'clock game, but I'll talk more about the draw of the district draw in a minute. But I just look at this district, Ken, and it's Owsley County is by far the most experienced team. We're probably right even with Estill as far as experience. And then Lee County is the least experienced team, especially now that they've had a player leave, and they're not ready yet. And that's all it is. And it's all about getting better or having less people play. And we're getting ready to see that for Powell County, because it's, you lose a couple starters, and what's coming is probably not as many kids over as what has been coming over. Usually we get 5 or 6 middle schoolers playing every year. Now we've only got a couple that come up, and it's going to be rough for the next couple of years of girls basketball.
Yeah, we don't necessarily have those underclassmen or even from the middle school that can make an impact. They've not necessarily, risen to the top.
We've heard a lot about the boys' programs. We haven't heard a lot about the girls' programs in the last or coming up for the in girls' sports. We're seeing some of that in soccer, and we're seeing some of that in volleyball. We're just not seeing it in basketball or even softball. So those two, what used to be the two main sports for girls, now we're taking back burners really to soccer and volleyball.
Ellen Napier is the only middle school player currently
playing up
on the varsity level. Yeah. Again, you mentioned Chloe and Carly. Also, Ella Weil came in and made the team. She's exactly one of the seniors. So the Lady Pirates have those three seniors. Ella Weil doesn't necessarily get in a whole lot. She's more of a soccer player as far as her athleticism.
Several years since she played basketball, yeah.
So at that point, she's not necessarily getting in a whole lot. But beyond that, we have quite a few juniors, 3 or 4 juniors on the team. So
yeah, and once we lost, and I'll say Lori Faulkner, once she left the team, and, I can't be upset for a kid not wanting to play or whatever, lost interest, whatever the reasons were. But once we lost her, she was a threat. Not that she scored a ton of points, but she was a threat that we had. And you had to play us a little bit differently when Lori was on the floor. And the absence of having that one threat has hurt us.
Yeah, profoundly. I'm not so sure that maybe the average viewer, fan that would come to a game would necessarily realize how much of an impact her not being on the team has made. I mean, she basically played almost all of the minutes.
She very seldom sat
defensively, out. Defensively, she was strong. Offensively, at times, she could get on a roll and score 17 points.
Didn't make a lot of mistakes. She had 17 at Owsley. One of the reasons I mentioned is she was one of the people at the Owsley game that when they were trying to put double-team pressure on Makaira, Lori was an outlet that got hot. And then they had to try to change gears. When they changed gears, then Makaira could open up. So this team has to have it. Trinity Romans has stepped up a little bit as of late on the scoring end, but we've got to get more out of her. Got to get more out of Chloe. Emily Reed she has improved phenomenally, but we got to get more out of her even offensively. And Everett, who's coming off the bench, we got to get good minutes and maybe 5-6 points out of them. And that's something that hasn't been typical of this team. Right now, it's just really lack of scoring everywhere, and it's really caused Makaira's game to go south because there's really no offensive threats that somebody else is worried about.
If you're playing her man-to-man and then zoning up the rest of the way, it's difficult when you don't necessarily have those shooters, consistent shooters,
I should say. If you can hold Makaira to 18 points, you'll beat Powell.
Yeah, I think that's a good number.
I'm not saying stopping Makaira. I'm saying limit her to 18. And if everybody else gets their average, you score 50, you win. That's the problem we're in. We don't have that extra player that's going to get an opportunity to get 8-10 points in a game. If we have players, we've said this before, we have two or three players in double digits, we normally win in girls basketball. And girls sports, one player will make a difference. Boys basketball, they probably can rotate through and live with it. In girls basketball, sometimes you have so few athletes or so few really that are ready to play, and Lori's one of those that was ready to play, that you can't make up for that experience that you had. And we're seeing that. These kids that are coming up and playing now, they're not as experienced. And that's the difference in the players. And, going forward, like I said, you don't get mad at the kid. Don't know the reasons. And I know she's probably got her own reason, and there are probably sound reasons for that, so I'm okay with it. I just know that the team has suffered also, and that's normally the case, especially in girls' sports.
Yeah, especially when you're talking about a starter.
Yeah.
That you're used to being there, game in and game out. And then ultimately it goes back to whether it's Carly Rogers or Emily Reed, even Jessely Centers mm-hmm. off the bench. Those three players, to me, have to step up.
Somebody's got to score out of that group.
Correct. And Trinity Roman's done a nice job, and Chloe Grainer, again, one of the seniors, she's done a nice job. But you have to get contributions from those additional players that are coming in. Zaylee Strange has done a nice job at times. When you come in, though, you have to be impactful, even more so probably offensively at this point than – not that you can't, continue defensively, but again, we need more points from other players
You can't be a liability on defense. You have to go out there and make somebody work for what they get. And I'm not sure even defensively we're as good. And I think that's probably more of the problem. If I can hold Estill County to 40, then we just have to score 41. Now, if Makaira can get 20, I get 10 out of two players, we're probably going to win that game. That's the difference in what a defensive player can make. So if we get one shutdown player on one of theirs, we've got some matchup issues with Estill County, with their size on the inside. It's going to be tough to defend their size. And it's going to be tough to defend our quickness. It's just one of those nice matchup issues that you're going to go through. You got to give something up to get something. To me, Powell County is going to give up the inside, and with a bunch of guards, really. Carly she'll play the post, but she's 5'3", 5'4". I mean, she's not a very tall post, and it's hard sometimes to go in there and battle up against somebody that's 5'8", 5'9", and much bigger than you are. It's hard to play that position a lot.
On one hand, when I think of the Lady Pirates and the Lady Engineers head-to-head, it's almost like the old heavyweight boxing matches. Like, both of them are aggressive. Both of them are making their shots and throwing their punches in that regard, and it's just going to be a matter of who can stand at the end, because it's one team is up, then they're down. They're up and they're down, and it's, that again, that back-and-forth action.
When you've played a team three times, and I looked at these numbers today, there's 1 point difference in three games. I don't care how you cut it, slice it, or dice it. When you play next Monday night, week after next, it's probably going to be within five.
And the average margin of victory has been 3 points,
yeah,
no matter who
been
won.
Four, three, and two.
Yeah.
So 4-3-2, average three. That's one possession.
Yeah.
And not putting pressure on anybody, but if you mess up one possession, it's partly you. I'm just saying. You're going to have the possessions that you have. You really can't squander opportunities in those types of games. So every shot has to be a good shot. You can't have the forced shots. You can't go on the bad runs because it's hard to catch back up. So that's really all you have to do. If you could stay even the entire game and just come out with like that one extra stop at the end and get a basket, that wins you the game. But it's not going to be – I don't think it'll be more than a 4 or 5 point difference either side. So in that Palestro game, there's no way to pick them. I just tell you, I would definitely take less than five with either team,
especially at a neutral site like
yes.
Owsley, which is to me a shooter's gym.
It is a,
right.
I
it is very it is gym. Very quaint, compact. I mean, you don't have depth perception issues like you may potentially at Powell, especially on the stage end. Right. You know, at that point, it's going to be a little bit more closer and tight, and it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, we always call the other end the shooter's end, and until, like, I know some coaches have a tendency to make, it's a bad habit to get into. Like, I've had coaches I've worked with before that tend to stay on one end versus the other, and run a lot of offensive stuff on that end. I'm not saying Ken was bad. Ken was bad about using the far end, which I'm calling the far end, the wall with all the photos. That's where he worked on a lot of his offensive stuff. You know, the shooting was both ends, but the offensive drills were mostly on that end. The boys tend to take the stage end, and it's just kind of weird to me, but the stage end to me is the hardest end to have the depth issues.
Agreed.
But I have seen people have more success because I think they practice on that side. Seems like more. Then they go to the other side.
Right.
Even when you have PE classes in there and they're playing, they tend to go to that stage side more so they get used to it. And also, that's the third and fourth quarter end. That's where it's just as big. I mean, I'm not saying you can come out to a bad start, but if you're never used to practicing on one end, you lose that home court advantage.
True.
You could be used to practicing on both.
Yeah.
You know, Owsley County is really kind of, you got the doors where people are coming in, so you might have a little, I don't know, cooler side. The other end, you still got a door back there in the corridor, but it's not as – it's where not all your main crowd's coming in. And by the way, I would say this. If you're going to the Owsley County game, they will empty the gym, I believe, after each session. That's how they're going to get it in. But we'll talk more about that in a minute.
I agree with you. At this point, we probably should take a break.
Probably should. So let's take a break here on PCSN Live, here on WSKV 104.9 FM.
Protect Security and Fire Systems. Your security is our business. Visit the Fowl County Sports Network page at WSKVFM.com.
With Whitaker Bank's new home equity line of credit, qualified applicants can borrow up to 90% of their home's value with no closing costs. With Whitaker Bank's home equity line of credit, you only pay back 1% of your balance monthly, and you process your withdrawals with Whitaker Electronic Banking. Stop by Whitaker Bank and see how our new home equity line of credit can help you. Whitaker Bank proudly supports your Powell County Pirates. Whitaker Bank is uniquely Kentucky, member FDIC, and an equal housing lender.
Count on Clark Regional Medical Center for quality health care close to home. It's why we're here, providing compassionate, personalized care whenever you may need it, so you, your family, and our community can all thrive. Because no matter where you are in life, nothing is more important than your health. Clark Regional Medical Center, from the routine to the unforeseen. Count on us. Learn more at clarkregional.org.
Welcome back. Now we're going to talk about what I've been kind of hinting at for a while.
Well, hold on. Before we do that, let's go and talk about the girls' upcoming schedule. Yeah, we'll talk about the girls' upcoming schedule. They have actually been off for a while. Their last game was on the 4th, so it's been a while since they played, and that was at Jackson City. They played Letcher County Central, and unfortunately the Lady Pirates lost that one, but they will be at Buckhorn on Friday, the 10th, and then on the 13th, Monday, they'll play host to Wolf County, and then Tuesday, Valentine's Day, a makeup game against Knott County Central. That was originally scheduled for Saturday at 3:30, and they had to reschedule that one to Tuesday at 7:30, and then the Lady Pirates will be on the road at West Carter on the 17th, and that'll end up the regular season. So four more games for the Lady Pirates, two away and two at home.
Yeah, and Friday's contest with Buckhorn is actually probably the most winnable game that the Lady Pirates have on their schedule. Monday and Tuesday is going to be rough outings. They've played both teams, lost to both by double digits, I believe.
Correct.
And then West Carter, they played at home, I think lost by five.
No, they won by four.
Won by four, and we go to West Carter, and that was a very physical game here, and I just look for a turnaround because it's just hard to beat. I always say it's a 10-point advantage when you're at home, and if it's 10, then I'm saying we're losing by six.
That was probably one of the most physical games that we had actually seen up to that point in the season. Both teams were very physical. A lot of fouls were even called during that. But again, that back and forth battle, and the Lady Pirates ended up pulling it out the win at home. And maybe they can do it again on the road.
I mean, I'm not saying it's not possible. I'm saying that sometimes it's hard to beat someone on the road that you beat at home. And you know, Powell County don't usually get the breaks officiating that seem like others do on the road when we go to their places, but it's just going to be tough to win Monday and Tuesday. Wolf County's coming in with a really nice record, so is, and Knott County's got a losing record, but they beat us earlier in the season. So it's going to, if the Pirates can go 2-2 out of the next four, that's a good stretch, and they'll also be getting ready for district tournament play, which that West Carter game should be a good warm up for the Estill County game at the district tournament.
Yeah, a lot of similarities in some respects between the two teams.
Yeah, being physical and being, you know, pushing around, got some size on the inside. Those kinds of things can mimic. They have some ability to shoot the ball from the outside as well. Actually, the biggest player plays on the outside. So, you know, it's just one of those things that you can get used to and do the matchups. And, you know, Estill County's got the one kid that's really long that played the defensive game against Makara the last time. I can't think of her name again. Number 20. Remember her number, but not her name. She was phenomenal for, what, 3.5 quarters. And then I think just Makara just probably had a little bit more extra gas at the end.
And that goes back to conditioning.
Well, right? You know, plus you're the offensive player getting chased. It's a lot harder to be the chaser than the person that's the chasee. You know, if you're the one being chased, you're making the other person work hard the entire time.
And that's where preseason comes in. Obviously, you go back and look, even prior to that, they were doing a lot of running. So were the boys' basketball team, for that matter. Yeah. A lot of, you know, season conditioning, and I think it's really paid dividends for both sides.
Yeah, and going forward on Monday this week, they had the draw, which you already knew the girls' outcome. It was Owsley County, the dominant one seed in the girls' play, and then it was Estill wound up being the two because of the last game of point spread with Powell. They got the two seed. Powell is the three, and Lee the four. And those games will be played on Monday,
the 20th.
At Owsley County High School. They will, from what I understand, clear the gym after game one, and new people will come in for game two. So I assume you come right back in. You probably got to buy another ticket. So you will be clearing the gym after the first game. That's the only way you get seated at Owsley County and have it fair to all the teams involved. And I'm still not sure if you're not there early enough, you get a good seat. Powell will play the second game. It will be a tough seat. Definitely. I mean, if you don't get there early, fine. It'll be a tough seat to get for the Owsley Lee County game because Owsley County is going to pack the house with who they've got, and Lee County will follow as well. I mean, I don't think Lee has a chance to win, but that's why you play the game.
Well, unfortunately, they've at least added the parking down below the hill, you know, but still parking will be at a premium just like a seat will.
Yeah, hopefully there's some parking passes for the radio. We'll have to see about that. But, you know, it's I love playing there as a coach or player. As a fan, it's not a great place to play. You know, the parking is not good. Not enough seats for everybody that wants to get in the gym. We will be available on Facebook Live, I'm assuming. So that would be one avenue that you can still watch the games. Thanks to courtesy of WSKV and our sponsors. I'd like to pick up a couple more. If you want to call Ethan and say, I want to get in on the district, maybe he can put you in because we need all the help we can get to cover these. So it gets harder. The longer we go in the year, harder to cover some sports. We just need more people to come in, and I want to help out.
And so everyone knows as well, where Estill is the 2 and Powell is the 3, it will be the Estill County Sports Network that will actually be the radio broadcast team for that game.
Still right here on 104.9, but it will be probably, I would assume, Danny and William to cover the Estill Powell game, which they've done in the past, and we've always done it that way. So
whoever the higher seed
is gets to broadcast, which is fine. And sometimes we've done it to where we do co-broadcasts where one person from the Estill County side, North Powell County side, usually that's when somebody is out and we just fill in. But
stay tuned. We'll more figure something info out on that one.
Yeah, on who's covering what. But I think normally we cover all the games, so we should have the Owsley Lee game. We should have, and I'm saying we, is Ken and I should have the Owsley game at 6. We have to confirm that, make sure we're doing all the tournament. Again, that's the only game of the first round, boys or girls, that's not Estill or Powell playing. So that's the only one with two other teams playing, not our two, that's covered here. So stay tuned. Check on the website. Ethan will have up here running on when we're covering. But the games are 6 and 8 on Monday. So if you're coming to the Powell game, Powell Estill, there's no you need rushing up there. You know, if you get there at 7:30, I think you're probably good to go. Maybe 7:15. So the game will probably be over at 7:15, 7:20. Be clearing the gym for you all to come in. So you'll have enough time to get there at 7:15.
Yeah, at that point, people will be coming out, getting their cars, and maybe you can steal a parking
get
spot.
Get a parking spot. If you come too early, you definitely can't get the parking spot. So it's all about timing.
All about the timing. You're exactly right.
So that is a look at the girls' brackets. Again, I think Owsley's going to just sweep through the first game, and the second game should be maybe, I'm not going to say best game of the tournament because you've got a couple good games coming up on the boys' side, but for the girls' game, that should be the best game of the two on Monday. The Powell Estill game, again, should be less than 5.
I would agree with that assessment.
Yeah, so we'll take another break here on PCSN, come back with Boys Talk right after the break.
Since opening in 1972, Citizens Guarantee Bank has been there to help our customers enhance their lives and achieve their dreams. With 7 locations across central and eastern Kentucky today, we are celebrating 50 years of being there for the communities we call home. Citizens Guarantee Bank is now CG Bank. New name, same commitment to being there for our neighbors. CG Bank, we've been there for that. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Toyota South in Richmond is moving forward. Family owned and operated since 1915. Meet General Manager Charlie Johnson.
I was raised right here in Powell County by my grandparents. They taught me to be honest and treat others with courtesy and respect. And that's what you can expect from me. I would like to personally invite you to take the short drive to Toyota South in Richmond. Whether you're looking for a new or used vehicle, as General Manager at Toyota South, I will make your short drive well worth your time. Come see me soon at Toyota South in Richmond.
Toyota South in Richmond. Online at toyotasouth.com or call their friendly staff at 877-605-4326.
New driveway, parking lot, or large aggregate need? Hinkle Contracting Company specializes in all things crushed aggregate. They provide expert delivery and more, depending on size of application. Call Natural Bridgestone today at 606-663-2815 or Tipton Ridge Quarry at 606-723-4881 or find out more information at hinklecontracting.com. For all of your asphalt and aggregate needs, think Hinkle Contracting Company.
Trust the emergency
Department at Mercy Health, Markham and Wallace Hospital when an emergency strikes. We offer full-service emergency care 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We have X-ray, CT, and lab services on site for assessing, diagnosing, and treating patients quickly. The Emergency Department is a Level 4 trauma center where you can expect expert care, quicker treatment, and improved outcomes. You can feel safe to come to the hospital campus. Following CDC guidelines, our providers and care teams are doing everything possible to ensure your safety and well-being. Choose the Emergency Department at Mercy Health, Markham and Wallace Hospital in Irvine.
Welcome back. We didn't leave you, but now we're going to change gears to talk about the boys. Again, I was talking about having a game last night, and the boys did play on Monday night, right?
Correct, yes.
Played at Jackson County.
That's correct as well.
And prior to that, I think we had some more games on the boys.
We had two games prior to that, and I'll start with the last game, which would have been a week ago Thursday. The Pirates played host to Bergen. And they won handily 85-55. An outstanding game. What really stands out to me, that one was when Jacob Townsend came back. Mm-hmm. Hit back-to-back threes, and at that point, you know, to me, that was exciting to have him to be able to come in and contribute like that.
Well, he had 4 out of 5, I believe, shooting-wise for him.
Yeah.
And all in the first quarter.
Correct.
First half,
so that helped to get an early lead, and then Coach Martin was able to go to his bench and get in a lot of players, which was nice to see as well. But the fact that
and still hold the lead, but to about 30.
Yes, yeah. But the fact that Jacob had missed so much and came back and hit his first threes back to back at that point. I mean, that was a great sign for him to find that stride early on, as being especially after being away.
That's the one thing we had talked about. Without Jacob, we missed that person who could hit those shots, draw the defense back out. It makes it a lot easier for other folks to score. And when he got the attention on that, Jack Rose actually got off on the outside as well.
Yeah.
And
he finished like 25, 26 points, Jack Rose.
Yeah, he hit about 4 threes as well. So his didn't come all at once. He hit most of his in the second half, where Jacob didn't. I don't think he hit anything in the second. I'm not sure he even took a shot in the second half. But Jack got hot in the second half.
And played good defense as well, created several turnovers to Jack Rose. Again, great all-around game for him as well.
Yeah, Braden just played the steady Braden game, and, you know, get 15 points and 10, 12 rebounds. And as he is, I guess, probably in the top 10 or 15 rebounds in the state this year, really adding on it. And Bryson Edwards, came back to his normal self a little bit in that game as well. So it was glad to see the old Bryson. After he got sick, it took a lot out of him, I believe, and looks like he's starting to feel a little bit better.
Yeah, for those guys to be able to come back and contribute, and again, and have that kind of game and performance to where they could sit the bench, and again, Coach Alan Martin could go to his bench and allow some of those other players to actually come in.
And you know, and Dylan and Cam do their normal thing. They don't turn the ball over much. They get the ball where it needs to go and play solid defense. Those guys are the big key on the defensive side. They'll go unnoticed a lot just because they don't add up the points. But sometimes it's not about how many you score, it's how many you stop them scoring.
Yeah, again, it was a great win for the Pirates. Again, a 30-point win. Then they followed that up with another win in district play. Again, that Friday night, the boys-girls doubleheader as the Pirates defeated Owsley County 81-48 in district play.
That
again,
was a butt-whooping.
Yeah, they backed up that performance the night before, and again, really good all-around play by everybody on the team.
I mean, they beat Owsley up there handily, but this game was a different level of handily. I mean, they were making shots. They were playing really, really good basketball, I thought, as well. And, you know, knowing now that's who you're going to want to play in the district, it's it can work both ways. You know, you've got two blowout games, and you have a tendency to be a trap game if you're not careful.
Well, then they followed up that one on the 6th, again, going back to the Monday game against Jackson County, only lost by 6, 76-70. And anytime you're going on the road and you're that close, you realize they had an opportunity to win that game. I think they have 4 players in double figures, if I'm not mistaken.
Did you see the shooting statistics? Wow.
Right.
We missed as good as we were against Bergen and Owsley, we were as bad against Jackson County. And I'm only going by the statistics. You know, when you had, you know, players go one for a bunch.
Seven.
That's
you know, one for six.
I think Jackson was a Jackson. I think Jacob was, I think, one for seven, one for eight. I think Jack was probably, I think, one for nine. I'm talking about threes.
Threes, right.
And only wound up shooting about 20%, 25% maybe on the game. Those numbers, even if you're one of the leading scorers, that's too many to miss. You should never be under 40% from both, the combination of both. And, you know, 20-some percent is not a good shooting night. But hopefully they've had their off night on the road to Jackson County, because it's always tough to win 13-3. And I don't care who you are and how you are, to finish within six. After I saw who they had beaten, who they had played, they actually had a pretty good record at Jackson County. But losing by six and shooting as poorly as we did, I think that was just a poor offensive performance by the Pirates.
Yeah, it's almost a win. Meaning when you put it in perspective,
you make a couple shots.
Correct. Yes. Yeah. And again, especially on the road, which is always tough to win in general anyway, but you lose by six. And
I just wonder about some of those shots that we took, and again, not seeing the game, I can't answer to it, but I wonder if some of those were forced shots versus quality shots. We were getting quality shots against Bergen. We got quality shots against Owsley. I don't know what we got against Jackson County. I'm sure somebody can tell me later, but, you know, with the shooting being that off, you think maybe something was forced, but if we got that many opportunities, somebody needed to pile up the rebounds. I don't know who that was, but I didn't look at the rebound totals close enough. I think I saw Braden was double digits again. I think maybe somebody else up there close to 10. But, man, you just can't miss that many shots in a game and hope to win.
Well, when you go back and look at the two wins, the Bergen and the Owsley, very unselfish play. Mm-hmm. They consistently took good shots,
yes,
good looks,
we
making the extra passes.
Shots.
Yeah, controlling the boards. Again, those back-to-back games. So potentially, maybe they went back to some old habits.
That would be my fear.
That
would be my fear.
Yeah, I completely agree with you.
And if we do that, we can get beat again. But we got a tough stretch now for the boys coming up. They got, they're playing some repeat people. And sometimes the second time through stuff, they'll play Jackson City
tomorrow night. And we'll actually have that game for you. And then on Friday, they'll play Menifee County at home. And then Saturday, they'll play Hazard at home.
And I believe the Friday night contest will be senior night for the boys and the cheerleaders. That'll be on Friday. I think the girls' senior night will be on Monday, Wolf County game, I believe. That'll be for the girls' basketball and band. We didn't mention that earlier, so I thought I'd throw that in as well.
I will say this. So, as you mentioned, the repeat game. So, we defeated Menifee County at Menifee, 73-55. Again, you can't overlook anybody this late in the season. You know, that's the first game of the year.
First
so, at that point, let's see what happens.
Doesn't matter much.
Right. Don't overlook them. And then Hazard, who is the Saturday game, ended up losing at Hazard 71-36. That was the second game of the season. So obviously the Pirates have made strides, but guess what? So is Hazard.
Well, they're coming off an all-A run. Again, they've only lost three on the season. Honestly, don't look for much different than what you just said. I think they can come down here and win again by 30 if they choose.
If we're not careful. And then the Jackson City game at Jackson City, that was all the way back on December the 15th. The Pirates ended up winning 84-56.
And they got a nice kid. If you're just interested in basketball, they got one of the leading scorers in the state at Jackson City. He's only an eighth grader. Flincham is his name. So Corey Flincham, again, eighth grader at Jackson City, averaging about 30 a game. So it'll be interesting to see how he fares against Powell County. Again, this is a kid. I'm not saying he's going to go somewhere. He probably won't stay at Jackson City. It'd be nice to have him anywhere. You know, it's just a kid that's, like I said, an eighth grader. He's about 6'3", 6'4", runs the point. I mean, who wouldn't like to have that on their roster somewhere?
As an eighth grader? Yeah. Right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I'm not, like I said, I just don't think kids will, if he ever wants to win, he'll go somewhere else. If he wants to set some records, he may stay at Jackson City.
Never can tell.
Never can tell.
And then beyond that, next Tuesday, Valentine's Day, the Pirates will travel over to Montgomery County, where they ended up losing early in the season by 5 points here at home. Be interesting to see again what kind of matchup that looks like this late in the season. And then the final regular season game for the Pirates, they will be at Model over in Richmond. That game is on February the 16th, where they'll travel over there.
Yeah, the Model game has got a couple common opponents that you can kind of look at, and that game could definitely go either way. It's tough playing that Model. It's just not an awkward gym.
It is. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we've broadcast several games from over there.
Only has one side for the fans, and then there's where we said last time was upstairs in a little walkway do that game. But in Montgomery County is always a nice setup over there. We sit on the floor to broadcast their game at Montgomery. Montgomery's just an interesting setup. It's John Bentley's going to play his style of basketball. He's going to try to minimize mistakes and have good possessions. That's really how John wants to coach a game. His teams are normally really good at defense, and usually plays a low scoring game. You know, Allen wants to push it here, but John will want to slow you down. So it'd be an interesting matchup at Montgomery for nothing else than what it is. I mean, it's Montgomery just coming off a victory over Wolf County, who has throttled us this year. Just beat Wolf County last night in overtime. So
I think by 7.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough matchup for the Pirates. But again, it's a matchup where if you play your best game, it's a feather in your cap. They're, I think, 8 or 9 points better on RPI ratings than the Pirates. Montgomery would be 4th or 5th in the 14th region with their power rating. You know, they're down around the 9th or 10th slot in the 10th. So they're not a bad team. They're just in a little bit tougher region.
You're right. And as far as our broadcast, we will be doing the boys' games Thursday, Friday, Saturday. The girls at home on Monday against Wolf. Not quite sure where we are on Tuesdays,
yeah,
if we're going to Montgomery or hosting the Knott Central.
We had planned on doing the Montgomery game over there, and now they moved the Saturday girls game
to Tuesday, a home game,
which kind of throws us off a little bit. So we'll have to let you know. Again, check that out on the WSKB Facebook page and see where that stands. So
now let's go to the bracket real quick. You want to do
the bracket
that
now, or you want to take a break?
Yeah, let's go and do the bracket.
Do the bracket. Let's do the bracket.
So game one in the boys' bracket, Powell, the number one seed. We'll talk about that here in just a second. Powell's the number one seed. They will be the home team playing against Owsley County on Owsley County's court. And then that's a 6 o'clock start on February the 21st. That's on that Tuesday with the girls' games on Monday, which is also President's Day on that Monday. And then the second game, game two, Estill County, the 2 seed, facing off against Lee County, the 3 seed. That's an 8 o'clock start.
And again, I think you're going to see a different contest. Again, Powell just beat Owsley by 30. I don't think you're going to see a repeat of that. I think Owsley County is going to come in with whatever they're going to have to do to slow down or stop the Pirates. I'm not saying they will, but they're going
to
try.
Home game.
It's a home game.
And it's in the tournament.
Owsley County is a team that has always played the pride card. They're proud of their school. And if you've ever seen the lunchroom at that place, and, man, I tell you what, the stuff that they do makes you proud of your school. So Owsley County does a lot of things the right way. They're a small school, but it's all about, you know, they're I'm sure they know everybody in the school building. So it's a school that's based on pride. Basketball is one of their biggest draws. This team's going to be successful, whether it's this year or not. I don't know that, but they don't be embarrassed at home. This could be that trap game you're talking about. Powell got away from playing Lee and Estill and gets the game people want. You want the 1-4 matchup, but they may have wanted something that is bad for us because I know these kids are, I'm not saying they're cocky. They're going to think they're going to win that game regardless, and that's not the best way to go into a game.
Not when you're in the tournament. We've seen upsets
time
and time again, right?
It's a new season.
It doesn't matter if it's in the district tournament or in the regional tournament.
Go back and look.
You're exactly right. Yeah, you can't overlook anybody because at that point, it's potentially your last game, and guess what? Everything's on the line at that point.
Game one is the stress game. Game two is fun. And I'm saying that because you're going to play again, regardless of the outcome of game two. This could be your last time on the floor as a high school basketball player.
Game one.
Game one. And you do not want to be a 1 seed defeated by a 4 in a high school district tournament. It just it's happened in the past. I'm sure it will happen again. And Palcoyote got to be on their best game to defeat Owsley County again. And again, they may beat them by 15, but I wouldn't go in there. You better go in there looking like, look, they're probably going to be 10-point favorite just to start the game. And I definitely think that that will be in existence. They're going to be hot. They're going to, you know, they're used to shooting at their place. They played us a better game up there. And I would expect more of that this next time around.
Oh, great. It's their home floor, right?
And then Estill Lee, that should be an absolute dogfight.
Flip a coin.
Yes, because, well, I will say this. I will give Estill County the nod as far as the team that I would pick. They got the last win over Lee, which was another close game. But they led by double digits for the most part at the end of the game. Lee County hasn't got out of the region or the district in several years. So I know they're hungry. You know, as good as Zach Watterson is at Lee, I don't think he's been to a regional tournament. And Brian Hall, and one of the biggest things I can say about Brian, one of the best tournament coaches that ever coached at Powell. He'll be ready for the district game. But that should be a very, very hard-fought and a good game, Estill versus Lee. That's game number two on Tuesday.
Yeah, definitely. Again, get your ticket.
Get your ticket. You know, again,
be prepared.
You can watch it on Facebook Live, but it's not going to be like being at the game at Owsley County. That place is just so much fun. But, man, it's things get really heated there, too, because everybody's close together. Everybody's on top of the benches. You'll get to know your neighbors.
So, very quickly.
Very quickly. Yeah. So you got to be careful up there, too. But, again, it should be a excellent basketball game. But, like I said, you know, I have to say I have to take Powell Estill to be in the championship game. But Lee and Owsley get in the way of that.
As they should.
As they should.
Right? They're not going to lay down either
team.
No,
and they shouldn't.
No.
And I've never seen a Lee County team quit. And I've never seen an Owsley County team quit. There's no quitting those guys.
No matter what the score is.
No.
They're going down to the final bell.
Yes. So you got to play for, you know, 32 minutes. The game's not going to be won or lost the first 10. You could be a big deficit. There ain't nobody going to give up in those games.
No, so you're exactly right.
That's why you play the tournament games. Everybody starts out at 0-0. Doesn't matter about record anymore.
You're exactly right.
So we'll now, out of the way, we did want to talk about the coin flip. This was decided. The tiebreaker was
boys.
Boys was decided on a three-way tie at first between Powell, Estill, and Lee, who all beat each other. We're all 1-1, and everybody beat Owsley. That being said, it was a three-way tie at first. The tiebreaker for that is a coin flip. Odd man gets first, and then every who, I guess, calls a certain coin gets the two seed, and the way it wound up out was Powell, Estill, Lee, I believe, was that order. And then out, and then, so Lee lost two coin flips, really, to get the three seed.
They kind of had things, well, Powell had things in their own hand at one point. Had they beaten Lee, they would have been the one seed and wouldn't have been caught. And then Lee had an opportunity to still remain the one seed and lost to Estill. So they kind of faltered themselves when it seemed like they were the dominant team.
And Powell would have been the three seed. And if you go by RPI, Powell is rated three. So when we talk about that 1-4 matchup, we're really talking about a 3-4 matchup in game one. So the RPIs are much closer than what the ratings are. Again, Powell should have been the three. And if you go by RPI, which some districts do that, go by RPI, Powell would have been the three, not the one. Estill would have been the one. But this district goes by coin flip, which to me is probably as good as the other because everybody did beat each other heads up and whatever.
Well, and you can go back RPI, strength of schedule.
But RPI, you can manipulate that with different stuff. So I'm okay probably with the coin flip just as well.
As good as any.
Drawing a number of a hat, doesn't matter.
Still have to win on the floor regardless, no matter who you're playing. Doesn't matter if you're the 1, 2, 3, or 4, you got to play it out on the court and advance.
There are some teams that should be easier to beat than others, but that's not always the case.
Correct.
So, anyway, now we're going to take a break here on PCSN Live.
When you need insurance, contact Whitaker Insurance Group in Stanton, proud sponsors of the live broadcast of your Powell County Pirates on Pickup Country 104.9 FM.
AppalachianWireless.com is here to make your life easier and save you money. Sign in or create a self-care account to pay bills, view usage, or check contract dates. You can also apply for paperless billing and auto pay to save up to $5 per phone per month on postpaid plans on up to 10 lines. Forward pay customers. You can also renew or change your plans and pay your bill online as well. It's self-care at AppalachianWireless.com because we are you. We are Appalachian Wireless.
All right, we've talked about the district seeds. Now we'll talk about a little bit what's going on in the region, or at least the information that we have to this point, which is really very little, but I think I got it figured out or ciphered. All right, 56, you know the setups. It's the boys, Owsley versus Powell. That's Tuesday the 21st at 6. Estill versus Lee, Tuesday on the 21st at 8. Those games are at Owsley. And the 54th, it will be Leslie versus Hazard on Tuesday the 21st. That game at 7 o'clock. And Buckhorn versus Perry on Wednesday the 22nd, also at 7 o'clock at Perry Central High School. So apparently they're just playing one game per night. Looks like they play two girls' games, but we'll talk about that in a second. 53rd, this is your order. Only a three-team district. It's Letcher at 19-9. They'll be the one. Knott is at 9-14. Cordia 0-25. Knott will play Cordia. Knott should win, so it should be Letcher versus Knott in the championship game for the 53rd. I don't have a clue when they play or where they play. I'm just speculating, by the way, on the seeds. In the 55th, the way it broke down, Wolf will be the one, or I'm sorry, Breathitt will be the one with record of 12-9. Wolf will be the two at 14-12. Jackson City will be the three at 6-18. Wolf will play Jackson City. Breathitt will await the winner. Then, it would or should be Breathitt versus Wolf, you would think, in the championship. But that's all speculation. Again, I went back to look at the matchups, and I believe that Breathitt may have beat Wolf twice, or the point differential they have. And I believe both teams have defeated Jackson City. So I think it came down to point margin. I don't think that's one of the districts that goes by RPI. If not, I'm correct. So that's as best as we could call that one.
And on one hand, it's the same standard fare as far as the dominant teams that are coming out potentially out of the districts.
Yeah, now in boys basketball in the 54th, they still do a coin flip for who plays. So that one, if it wound up being Perry versus Hazard, then you could have had a regional championship type game in the first round of the district, which really nobody ever wants to see. But this year it didn't wind up that way anyway. In girls action against Leslie, in the 54th, Leslie will play Buckhorn. This is on the 20th, and Perry will play Hazard also on the 20th. Those games also at Perry County Central. The 56th, you got our setup, Powell Estill and Owsley Lee. Flip-flop the times on the 6-8 on that one. 55th, Breathitt, Jackson City, and Wolf. Wolf should get the one. Breathitt Jackson City should get to play in. Breathitt County should probably get the win, but they're only 6-17. Jackson City's 0-18 on the season. 53rd, Knott County Central coming in at 17-7. Letcher Central at 12-13. Cordia is 9-8. Jim Buchanan 7-13. I didn't go back and look on who beat who, but it should be Knott, Jim Buchanan, Letcher, Cordia, I believe, are the matchups. But again, none of that was posted, has been drawn at this time. But at least that's kind of gives you an idea who may be playing and who you may be playing if you make it to the next level. So that's a different issue as well.
Again, we're winding down. We're basically at another week and a half before things will actually get started in district play, and looking forward to not only the rest of the games during the regular season, but obviously once you get to the tournament time, everything just kind of takes on a different level of interest in many respects. You know, there's a lot more at stake.
It does. And, you know, everybody's worked hard. The girls cheerleading in-game competition, I believe, will be held on Tuesday night. The boys game, I believe.
That's usually when it is. Yeah.
So, again, I don't know how you rate. I know if you're normally you want exciting games, and if that's an advantage to somebody, don't know how it's going to come out, because this one you've got, you know, Powell cheerleaders to me would be better off going against either Lee or Estill, because that's going to be the more exciting game on paper again. But again, they got to play them on the floor. Doesn't really matter. So, but I believe the end game will be on Tuesday. That'll be the 21st for the cheerleaders. So make sure you make a little extra noise for your cheerleaders on Tuesday night as well. We'll take one more break here. Come back and talk about some odds and ends here on PCSN Live.
We value our customers at People's Exchange Bank, which is why we serve you with a staff of experts that are happy to meet your lending needs. We offer a variety of personal, small business, agriculture, and commercial loans, along with competitive rates and quick decisions. Your bank shouldn't compromise on your imagination, drive, and growth, so let us help move you forward with a loan from People's Exchange Bank. Get started and get going. Visit us online at www.pebank.com or stop by a local branch to find the loan that fits you best. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Ace Hardware, East College Avenue, Stanton, want to wish the best for your Powell County Pirates at their sporting events, in their academics, at home, or wherever life takes them. Next time you need an item for your lawn or garden, building needs, small or large project, plumbing, electrical, tools, including Craftsman, DeWalt, Husqvarna, and so much more, remember your Ace Hardware right here in Stanton, East College Avenue, Ace, the helpful place.
At Wells Funeral Home, we have years of experience caring for families from all walks of life. Each family comes to us because they know we are leaders in our profession, dedicated to excellence in service, and have the highest integrity. Life is full of opportunities to show someone we love them. One such opportunity is the funeral or memorial service. Such a loving event celebrates the choices they made, the relationship you shared, and honors the memory of your loved one. Together, we will create a fitting and memorable event. Contact us today to discuss the possibilities. Call 606-663-9480 or visit us at 777 West College Avenue in Stanton.
Welcome back. I want to welcome back Ken. All right, talk about some odds and ends. First, we've got to talk about UK basketball, and I got to say this one thing. Kentucky's more known for defense, I think, in the Calipari era. Last night, they got outplayed, out-hustled, and out-defensed by Arkansas. Now, Arkansas hit every shot imaginable in the second half, which doesn't speak highly of Kentucky's defense, but man, Arkansas put a defensive whooping on the Cats.
Yeah, and when the Cats defensively do not hold their own, that's where the breakdown is, where the teams are beating them. That's why their record is what it is.
Now, Kentucky would, I think they still have a chance to get into the NCAA
I don't know.
Picture.
I'm a little nervous about it.
Well, Arkansas and Kentucky last night were playing for that one last team in. Arkansas should get the nod now. We got one more game with Arkansas. I think we got to go to Arkansas and beat them there. We also got to pick up some more wins on the road that we need.
Georgia and Mississippi State.
Very, very unlikely lose any game that we're not supposed to lose.
And you better make a deep run in the SEC tournament.
Yes,
you better be in the championship, and if not, win it all.
You either be in the top four teams in the tournament, and I'm not sure Kentucky's good enough to make that kind of a run or consistent enough. We'll have to see. And I'd have to get my little Kentucky spill out there. Super Bowl, it's going to be Monday night, right?
Sunday.
So is it Sunday night? My bad. Sunday night, we'll be right there watching. I like the Chiefs.
It's funny because you actually picked the Eagles.
Did I pick the Eagles to win?
Well, you picked the Eagles to
win the NFC.
Correct, yes. But then you picked the Bengals over the Chiefs.
Yes, I did. But I thought the AFC winner would be the Super Bowl champion.
And see, I'm actually going to go the opposite. I'm going with the Eagles.
Here's not a bad pick. I think, talking defense.
Here's how I think it plays out. I think you get the Chiefs that are going to come out early and establish themselves and go up maybe 10-14-0. By the halftime, it's going to be a little bit closer. I think going into the third, it's probably going to be defense. That's when the Eagles are going to kind of get over that hump and take the lead, and I don't think they relinquish it. I think they end up winning by probably three, no more than 7 points.
So you think it's going to be between a field goal and touchdown? Kind of like the line is probably what?
Yeah.
I don't know what the line is. I said that. I don't really know what the line is. It's probably 2.5 points, I would think. One way or the other.
I think the Chiefs get up early, at that point, everyone's like, oh, okay, we've got another Super Bowl where a team gets down early, and then all of a sudden the other team comes back.
You have arguably the best quarterback in the NFL, Patrick Mahomes, who kind of proved that with some help from the Bengals and their bad play. They got through the Bengals, and I think the Bengals were probably the best team in the NFL.
I felt like that, too.
At least a coin flip with Kansas City. And that's kind of my reasoning is I just think Kansas City is the second-best team, and they should beat the Eagles. But I'm like you, though. I think it should be
– I think the Eagles' defense is
– a field goal would probably be a good game. But I think we're going to see a really good Super Bowl on Sunday. You got two winners at quarterback. You got Mahomes and Jalen Hurts. Those guys are winners. And now if either one of those two gets hurt, that other team is probably going to win. I just don't want to see that happen, but
it didn't necessarily seem to bother Mahomes, his injury, as much as I thought it would, which is why I thought that the Bengals would have been given the nod and going against Kansas City at home, but it didn't even necessarily hinder him as much. He's had a little bit more time. The defense that the Eagles bring is much better than the defense the Bengals have, and I think that pressure is going to get to him this time.
I think the Eagles are the only other team besides the Chiefs that's got it's the best of defenses.
They're the real deal.
Football.
Yeah.
I do think that as well. I think the Eagles and the Chiefs, you have the best two team defenses going. So to me, you got to go with who you think the best quarterback is, and that's Patrick Mahomes. So I think the Chiefs will get the win. We'll see the score. You like the Eagles, I like the Chiefs, but we'll have to see. And Tom Brady has said for the second time, he's done.
He's done.
I think he's done.
He's over. Yeah, at this point, he has to move on.
Well,
especially after the season they had in Tampa Bay, at that point.
Well, he wasn't going to be back with the Buccaneers regardless.
True, but I think at that point, though, his worst season ever. You know, they finished 8-8, and I think at that point he's like, okay, I didn't end up on better position, mm-hmm. even making the playoffs. And I think at that point, and obviously it was based on his personal life as well.
Yeah.
That the timing was right. And good for him. I mean, listen, he's had a great career. Absolutely. Yeah.
He'll go down as one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. Now, you look at what happened last night with LeBron James getting the scoring record. Whether or not he goes down as one of the greatest players of all time, that's debatable.
It is.
He's got the most points now.
He's definitely proven in a lot of statistical categories, including taking Cleveland and went into championship there. Obviously, he wins one in L.A. He wins in Miami. Any place he's been, he has been successful.
He's not going to win in L.A., though.
Not again.
No, I don't think
not
so.
Again. Yeah, not yeah, again. They're not I'm good okay enough. With that.
But they got a nice team around him. I think this team could win. Whether they will or not, I don't know. But, I looked at this today. One of the kids at school told me today, LeBron and Kareem play the same amount of years. I didn't realize that. I thought Kareem played longer. LeBron started at 18, so I get the difference. And Kareem played longer. Michael played 5 years less. So those Michael fans out there that are going to say Michael was the greatest of all time, he still could be, depending on what you're talking about. Points per game, all-around player, can't argue that. But LeBron's now on top of the points lead, which I didn't think anybody would ever pass Kareem.
Well, and you know who I think is one of the top five easily. I think he gets dissed a lot, Larry Bird. Larry Bird. I think Larry Bird is.
If you talk about eras, Larry Bird and Magic Johnson were arguably two of the best players of all time.
By far, yeah.
And if you just look at rings, you go Magic. But that's the era of basketball I enjoyed watching, was Magic and Bird when they went at it. And you had some more good players at the time. Right after that, you had Jordan coming through, and then, boom, it was here.
I mean, you go back before that. Pete Maravich,
right?
Elgin Baylor, Wes Unseld. I mean, you could go into Wilt Chamberlain.
Even Green back then, you know, in the early days.
True. Dr. J, for that matter, who was the inspiration for. Right. That's where Michael Jordan mimicked. Dr. J started it all.
You talk about greatest players of all time, but then there are game changers.
Perfect. There you go.
There's a difference.
Yeah.
Dr. J was a game changer. I think he changed the game for Michael Jordan. He just went.
Elevated it.
Yeah. And that's just what the game should be. It should be about breaking records and somebody passing another. And I'm okay with it. I don't have a problem. Longevity defeats retiring early. I mean, look at the Hall of Fame. If you don't have 10 good years, you probably don't make it to the Hall. You know, Sandy Koufax had, 7 or 8 good years, but only played 10? One of the shortest careers in the Hall of Fame, I would say. So You have to do something pretty special if you don't play very long.
Yeah. Good for LeBron, you know.
Good for him.
Yeah. There's a lot of philanthropy work as well.
And a lot of people really just don't like LeBron. And it's...
You know why? I think because he whines and cries too much.
I think they all do.
Well, I think with him, though, he takes it to an extreme. That's touch possible. Him, and all of a sudden there's no foul or something. All of a sudden he's just whining and crying when it didn't go his way. He's that That's kid possible. To me.
Well, he does sometimes.
He's a great
but
player.
But I think he's a good rebounder. He's a good assist player. I think
he's
it all.
He's a good team player. Good defensive that's for sure.
Player.
Yeah.
I think his all-around game may be one of the best ever. But
I would agree.
That's
sure.
debatable. Anyway, talk too long. Again, join us tomorrow night, Friday night, Saturday night, Monday night, maybe Tuesday night, and we're back here on Wednesday night again next week. So
there you go.
To kind of wrap up the end of the season, and we'll talk more here on PCSN as we go forward. But for tonight, thanks for listening, folks.
Joining us for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken right here on Pickup Country 104.9 FM. Streaming live at listenlikealocal.com or on your mobile device with the free WSKB app for Android and Apple users. Don't forget, tonight's program is available on our on-demand player at listenlikealocal.com. Powell County Sports Network would like to thank their sponsors, Whitaker Bank, Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Powell County CSEP, Mercy Health, Appalachian Wireless, Citizens Guarantee Bank, Park Regional Medical Center, Hinkle Contracting, Davis & Davis Funeral Home, Toyota South, Ace Hardware & Feed, People's Exchange Bank, Teddy Flint Attorney at Law, Whitaker Insurance Group, Protect Security and Fire Systems, and Apex Physical Therapy.
Here's your Stanton Tourism check of the temperature.
It's currently 57 on the Pickup Country front porch.
We can't wait to see you at Exit 22. Visit explorestanton.com to plan your next adventure.